Today on Real Radio.
Christmas announces that Jesus came to save us. And it's so exclusive. People can't handle it. And so they go through this season having a very difficult time. Why don't they just give up?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his special series we're bringing you all this week. It's called Unstoppable Christmas. And its focus goes far beyond the Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays controversy. This time, in fact, it's targeted toward one of the antagonist groups that seem to get some degree of attention this part of the year, atheists. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a message called Unstoppable Christmas.
Let's get this under our belt right now. People, Adolf Hitler, for example, has perfect theology. He knows exactly who Jesus is. Have you thought about that? There's people in hell saying, man, I wish I would have listened when I was on earth. And there's people that want to outlaw Christmas. Christmas and the message of Christmas, I like to put it this way. In fact, I did put it this way. It's in my notes. I'm reading it. Christmas and the message of Christmas is an invasion. I like that. It is an advent. It's a revelation to mankind. Wow! Christmas is an invasion. That little baby born in Bethlehem, he may have had diapers on, but he brought not only a revelation, he brought a revolution. He, living his life, 33 and a quarter years, fulfilling the demands of God's perfect law, would not only satisfy the demands of the law, but then he would mount that brutal cross and die in our place where we were supposed to die. In a sense, he said, Jack, stand back. You believe me. That cross will kill you. But after it kills you, you have no power to raise yourself from the dead. I, on the other hand, I'm going to go to that cross, take the pain and suffering for you. But listen, I can't totally die. I will die in the flesh, but I can't die in the spirit. I'm Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am perfect. So I have come to take care of your imperfection, of your sinful state. And not only that, I'm going to pay the mortgage that you owe to the holy righteousness of God, which you could never pay. You are so underwater in your payment to God, Jack. You're so upside down. You could never do it. I'll do it. And Jesus goes to the cross. That was the mission of that baby at Christmas. I want to show you a video clip this week. You probably saw it. Put your eyes to the screens if you would.
Unresolved Problem segment tonight. Every Christmas season, there are people who try to diminish the celebration of Jesus' birthday. We all know it. We do have a whole bunch of war on Christmas deniers who say that I and others are making the whole thing up. Well, here's the first evidence this year. A billboard put up by an atheist group telling children to skip church on Christmas Day. Nice, right? Billboards are run in a number of states.
A lot of atheists feel alienated at this time of year, and we want them to know that they're not alone and that it's okay to admit and that there's no God and to be open about that.
Joining us now from Boston, psychotherapist Karen Ruskin, who is agnostic. I cannot understand for the life of me why anyone would bother trying to diminish the federal holiday of Christmas, Doctor. Why do they do it?
Here's why. When you feel like you are in the minority, you experience the desire to try and push to sell your product, if you will, to sell your belief in a loud way to others in order to make yourself feel better, to validate your view, to make sure others hear you.
I don't, you know, but it's so counterproductive if you look at it just from an objective point of view. Putting up a sign like this just makes people angry with you, all right, because they feel they're being insulted, and they are. It's an insulting sign, is it not?
It's horrifically insulting. It's really disrespectful, but not unlike the bully who tries to push other people down in order to make themselves feel better. That's what's happening here.
So your theory is that atheists don't feel very good about themselves because they don't believe in the deity?
Well, no. Not all atheists are as nasty as what's happening here. Some atheists have a true belief that there is no God, and they feel very comfortable with that. But there are others who have a very uncomfortable belief about it. They feel the need to push others down, and that's the group that you're seeing here, a group of people all coming together in a gang-like format in order to push other people down. But not all atheists are like that.
Hey, I would say this. If the guys who are making the noise with the billboards and saying, we feel alienated. Did you hear him? He's an atheist. We feel alienated at this season. Number one, they're atheists. There is no season. Your premise is already broken from the beginning. What season are you talking about? It's Christmas. No, it's not, because you don't believe in it. Are you with me on that? We have become so palatable, so menial, so terrified and mealy-mouthed as a church that we hear guys like that and we start thinking, you know, we really need to think about their feelings. No, we don't need to think about their feelings one moment. We need to stand and celebrate the fact that God came into the world, and that's going to cause them to really be uneasy. And don't you remember how you came to Christ? You felt uneasy. You felt like you needed Jesus because it was made very clear to you. People can't handle that. And so this is what's going on in the world around us. Don't let the world get away with it. They make all the noise because they don't have truth. They get all excited about it because they're terrified. Let the truth speak. Next, we see that salvation is exclusive. I love this. Exclusive, but why is it exclusive? And I wrote this note to myself, thinking about you out there. Okay, Pastor, first you insult me by telling me that I need to be saved, and now you're telling me that there's only one way to be saved. That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly correct. According to the Bible, unstoppable Christmas means this, that salvation is exclusive. No, listen, no religious founder in the history of mankind had a book pre-prepared in advance, written by many authors who some of them never knew or met one another on different continents, mind you, spanning 1,500 years, talking about one person. You ever think about that? The Bible, hello, the Bible's all about Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. It's all about him. And you see that when you study the names of God. Muhammad cannot say that. Buddha cannot say this. Joseph Smith cannot say this. Nobody can say it. Jesus is the only one. He's the only one. He is exclusively your Savior. Exclusively. There is no other. I can't believe I'm hearing this. In the 21st century, you're such a bigot. You're so narrow-minded. You're so, what? Tell me. I didn't make up the rule. Jesus said, I am the way. Definite article. The way. The truth. The life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said this. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. Resist. Listen. No. Refuse. No. To your own peril. Accept him. Salvation is exclusive. So listen. What comes to mind, your mind, when you think of salvation being exclusive? You say, well, I disagree with that, somebody will say. There's basically four areas of rebuttal that people give. Are you ready? Here they are in order. Number one, people say, all roads lead to God. Okay, technically, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 does say that is true. Revelation does say everybody will stand before God in the end. It does say that. It says the books are open, they're judged out of those things written in the book, and then they're all cast into hell. So you're right. The Bible says all roads do lead to God. You just need to keep reading a little bit. It's what happens after you meet him. If you don't have Jesus as your attorney, your Savior in heaven, it ain't going to go good. You need, listen, just like that Orion spacecraft came in back to our atmosphere with the most high-tech, never-before-developed heat shield from the elements, you need Jesus Christ to be the one that saves you from the element of God's holy, holy righteousness. Because he's pure. It's impossible for him to hate. He is love. So the only reason why a person would not make it to heaven is because you refuse the Christmas gift. Jesus, his salvation that he brings. Number two, somebody would say in popularity that it doesn't matter so long as you're sincere. Really? I'm not even going to talk about that one. Third, that so long as you do good deeds that outweigh your bad deeds. You ever hear that one? Bible says no way. Fourth and final one, this could be tricky if you're not paying attention. All you have to do is just believe in Jesus. There's a lot of people running around today saying, I believe in Jesus. They're no different than the world. No change in their life. What they're actually saying is, I believe that Jesus was a historical figure, but there is no way that he's the Lord of my life because I call the shots in what I want to do. I might go to church sometimes, but I'm good because I got this flame retardant suit a few years ago at a crusade or at a church service, and that's going to protect me. I'm okay. I went forward, or I was baptized. If you're trusting in going forward or being baptized, that's not salvation. Yeah, but I believe in Jesus. I went forward. No, 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 no. Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 13, there are those in the end who believe in him that even did miracles, but they are not allowed into his presence in eternity because they had evil intent. They never really accepted Christ. That's a serious thing. So listen, I want you to check this out. The price that God has paid for man's salvation, listen, was universal, no doubt. The price paid was in fact theologically universal. But the salvation experience itself is not universal. You have to accept Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants people in heaven, but he won't bend your arm. 1 John 2:2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, and he himself, that is Jesus, is the propitiation, big word, serious word, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Listen to what Dr. Charles Ryrie writes. From Dallas Theological Seminary, he writes, propitiation is the turning away of wrath by an offering in relation to soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. Propitiation means the placating or satisfying of the wrath of God who is holy by the atoning and acceptable sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our propitiation. He's our atoning work. Jesus. Nothing else. No one else. Jesus. That's why salvation and Christmas is exclusive. Christmas announces that Jesus came to save us, and it's so exclusive. People can't handle it. And so they go through this season having a very difficult time. Why don't they just give it up? Why don't they just surrender to the obvious, to the Lord Jesus Christ? And have a Merry Christmas, why don't you? Listen, the eggnog will taste better. The air will smell crisper. You know, you'll just have a lot better life. Your digestive system will work better. Stop arguing with God. Surrender. Really. The third thing is this. Salvation is liberating. Christmas is liberating. I remember a day growing up when for year after year after year, just the mention of Christmas got people excited. Even store owners got excited. Even non-believing store owners got excited because the joy was money. Woo! Hey, we didn't care. It's Christmas. Back in the day, everybody used to put lights up on their house when I grew up in Orange County. Everybody had lights on. Everybody walked. Listen, we had Jewish friends who would say, Merry Christmas. I didn't even know what Hanukkah was. I didn't even say it back. I didn't even know. None of them said, you know what? You really offend me. I wished you a Merry Christmas and you didn't say Hanukkah. Let me say, if I would have known about Hanukkah, I would have said, well, Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to you. What's the deal? Do you get the sense as a nation we're wound just a little too tight? We are spending our energy as a nation attacking good things and letting bad things go free. We are a messed up country, man. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to God. The Christmas message is, number one, that God came down to us. That's a miracle. Secondly, he invited us to know him. Wow! That's a shocker! Not only did God come down, the God that came down said, I want to know you. He didn't build some ivory palace and say, stay away. I'm God, you're not. You do all the work and do offerings to me, and I'll stay up here, and we'll never have any kind of relationship. No. Which, by the way, the third thing regarding that thought is the Christmas message. God came down, and he invited us to know him. The third thing is we see both shepherds, lowly shepherds, and magi from the east pursuing him. I love that. It was not uncommon at the Advent for people, man, to pursue God. Isn't that sweet? If you heard that God showed up the other out here on the lawn, would you run away from him or to him? Wouldn't you run to him? But listen, there may be some people watching or listening or sitting here right now that, I'd run far as away as I can from him. That's sad. That's sad. You should be liberated by salvation, by Christmas. Why? Because the claim of the Christmas Christ is this. Isaiah 45, 22 says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. I am God and there's no other. He says, come to me, look to me. Look. Look and be saved, he says. Now watch this very quickly. On the most carnal level, on the most carnal level of this truth, if I commit a crime, how did I commit the crime? I broke the law. Whatever I did, I broke the law. Agreed, everybody? Agreed? I broke the law. I committed a crime. I'm arrested for that crime. I'm tried for the crime. I'm given 3 years for the crime. Are y'all tracking with me? I go and I pay my 3 years for the crime. Listen, the authority said 3 years. I go and I pay my 3 years. Okay? On that day, do I get to go free? Yep, I go free. They hand me back my clothes. I step outside the gates. And am I free from that crime? I'm free from the crime. I paid it. It was paid. To what system? To the government or to the society. Are you with me? To the one that was offended. I paid. I go. No longer can I be tried for that crime I paid for. That is in the most carnal setting. We all get that. That's our system. But listen, you and I committed crimes against God. Lust, anger, jealousy, wrath, sexual immorality. If none of those things physically, mentally. We are alienated from God. The sentence is, you must pay with perfection to cancel out your sin. Can I do that? I'm in trouble. You need a good attorney. I need better than an attorney. I need God as my attorney. Why? Because I was arrested by God. I broke God's law. And I've been sentenced to death by God. I need more than help. I need God to reverse his decision. But guess what? He can't do it. He's perfect. He's perfectly righteous. He's perfectly justice. I am in a pickle, ladies and gentlemen. We are in a pickle. We can't get out unless there is God the Son. As it were, God the Holy Spirit convicts me of my crime. God the Father says, that's right, condemned. God the Son says, hold on a minute. I honor and respect and agree with the conviction. I honor and respect the sentence. I, as advocate, the Son of God, what if I pay the debt that he can't pay with my holy ability to keep the law and its demands and to die on the cross for where he's supposed to go and then be resurrected from the dead because the grave, sin, death can't hold me down. It's got nothing on me. Will you accept my offering in his place? The Holy Spirit and the Father, as it were. And now look, church, don't hold me to, I'm making this up as a courtroom case. There is great elements of truth to this, but I'm presenting an illustration to you. God cannot violate his righteousness. But Jesus steps in, pays, listen, the debt, honoring the righteousness of God, but because he could not be held by death because of sin, he had no sin, the grave couldn't hold him, so Jesus rose again from the grave. And every time now, for God who looks at those who trust in Christ's sacrifice, God sees only his Son. You say, you mean, Jack, you mean he sees me kind of? No! He sees the heat shield on you. He sees light on you. He sees the perfection of Christ on you. That's why throughout cultures, including the Old Testament, the blood was taken from the innocent animal and put on the person. You get the picture? The blood of Christ has been put on your eternal damnation, and it's been taken away, gone from you. It's not that God doesn't remember it. We'd say that in human terms. God forgot it. He forgot. Like there's weakness with God. There's no weakness with God. Well, he chooses not to forget. I understand. He's speaking to us in human terms. The truth is this, friends, that God looks at Jesus when he looks at us. The issue of talking about forgiving, forgetting my sin, and remembering my sin, you and I have to battle with that here and now. Did you know God doesn't look at you and say, oh, there's that Bill again. I've got to forget his sin. I got to reach down deep for that one. No. God looks at Bill and says, I see my Son. I see the pure, absolute, unadulterated, perfect reflection of my Son, Jesus Christ, all upon Bill. Bill, listen, listen. Bill is as holy as my Son is holy. Does that humble you? Does that make you fall to your knees, as it were, and understand why this is an unstoppable Christmas? There is not a lunatic, litigator, or law that can stop this. Your faith is not in faith. Your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross to set you free from your sins. And for that, you should give him your forever dying and undying from this life into your eternal life. Praise.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a presentation called Unstoppable Christmas. It's part of a series of special programs we're presenting this week, commemorating the holiday that celebrates the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll continue with more of Unstoppable Christmas on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now listen, if Real Radio is part of your day and you're listening and you're learning and growing as a result, why not let Pastor Jack know? Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then click Contact Us, and the rest is real easy. Or if you'd like, you can send Pastor Jack a letter. Send it to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info, including our phone number, can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.